I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. The award-winning Cree artist of stage and screen, Michelle Thrush, joins me now. Opening this Thursday, the 22nd of May, and running until Saturday, the 31st of May, is her solo show, Inner Elder. She's written and will perform the piece, which highlights the power of imagination in survival. I'll ask Michelle about the show, how it was developed in Calgary, and taking the show to the stage of the Fire Hall Art Center, where she acted in the 1992 production of The Ecstasy of Rita Joe. I'll ask Ms. Thrush about the role of elders and the wisdom they bestow on us all. The piece is about healing from substance abuse and aliens and features a superhero that lights the way forward. Visit firehallartcenter.ca for tickets and information. We spoke earlier this week with Michelle joining me from here in Vancouver. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Michelle Thrush. Ms. Thrush, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Survival is one of the themes in the show, survival from substance abuse, from aliens. I can't help but think that that'll resonate with theater goers because we all need to survive in our lives nowadays, a little more than usual, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. How did the show come about? When did you develop Inner Elder?
So back in 2017, there's a wonderful theater company in Calgary called One Yellow Rabbit that I've done a lot of work with through the years. And they commissioned me to create a show for a festival that was coming up called the High Performance Rodeo, which is one of the longest-running international theater festivals in the world. And it's out of Calgary. So they invite artists from all over. And they commissioned me as a local Calgary artist to create a show. And I spent 4 weeks in a rehearsal space with Karen Hines, who is my director, and she's also a master clown, which is why I chose her. And I just kept telling her stories about my life. And she was like, I have no idea how you survived all this. And I was like, I don't know any other way of life. And I didn't realize it was, you know, so crazy. And so then we just started creating little scenes. And I kept saying, I do not want any of this story to come across as I'm a victim. Mm. But yeah, both my parents were alcoholics. And back when I was a child, I had no idea what trauma was or what they were suffering from. And they were trying to survive and using alcohol as a way of coping. And then, as I got older, I realized that I had been through a lot, but I had this incredible gift, I guess, as a kid, as I believe all of us have a gift of communicating with nature and spirit guides around us, and it just really helped me get through a really difficult childhood.
That's the thing I think, Michelle, we overlook about young people, especially that just how powerful the imagination can be and what a tool it is to survive, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I guess that's the connection is as a kid, my imagination was crazy big and I would use it quite a lot to get away from things that were happening to me in my home. And, and I did not realize that I would grow up to be a professional imaginator, which is like an actor. So,
In Inner Elder, we meet a superhero. What is it about superheroes that makes, say, the wisdom more palatable, especially for young people? I mean, we're not going to listen to our parents or our grandparents probably as much as we're going to listen to some superhero figure that we've found in books or on television, say.
Well, that's the thing that I talk about in the show is that as a kid, I didn't get to see Indigenous superheroes. Mm. I didn't get to connect on television, which, you know, I'd often watch TV looking for Indigenous people to look up to, and it just was never there. There were a lot of Italians dressed up as natives in films that, Indians were always the losers, and they were running from, you know, burning teepees into a white savior's arms. And that really plays a thing on a kid when you're growing up, and it's like, where are all the goodness, where's all the superheroes in Indigenous culture? And we were not a part of there was, back then there was no radio play of Indigenous music, there was, You know, I was happy to see Chief Dan George on Little Big Man. I remember watching that like five times as a child. But there really were not a lot of people that we could look up to that were heroes like Superman or Wonder Woman. So, yeah, the superhero part of my show is a bit of a surprise that I'll wait till audience members see it to talk about it.
Yeah. So that also suggests that there is humor in Inner Elder as well,
yes.
Right?
Inner Elder it's a comedy. It's a tragic comedy. It's definitely, if you come see this show, you're going to walk out smiling because it's got some really great humor in it. And a lot, like I said, there's, you know, some clown elements, indigenous clowning, which is a huge part of who I am. Clown is a big part of our culture. And, yeah, so I tried as much as I can to just really rely on the clown spirits and the humor to come through, because otherwise, you know, what do we have if we don't have humor? That's a big part of indigenous people's being.
The wisdom of elders, though, I'd like to go back to that for just a sec. I mean, in reading up on Inner Elder, you know, it talked about guiding grandmothers and how we all can derive some wisdom from them. I guess the idea that mere surviving, I guess, that yields some wisdom, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer that every single situation that happens in our life is strategically placed in order for us to arrive to this moment. So I feel like there's a lot of importance in elders, and we come from this society today in Canada where when we turn 65, we're kicked out of society in a way.
Yeah.
We're not honored and revered. And in Indigenous societies, that's when we're at our best. That's when we're, you know, at the most important part of our lives is when we become elders, because we've gained so much knowledge. So, yeah, it's really, you know, true. It's to remind people how important our older community is also, placing more, you know, importance on what it means to survive to 65 and up. And, yeah, so there's a character I do in the show that is an elder, and I've been doing this character for over 30 years as a comedy character, and you'll meet her when you come see the show.
I guess that's the thing. The older we get, the more we've learned or unlearned even, and the more we're able to pass on to people.
Exactly, you know, which is why in our way, in Indigenous ways, we're taught, you know, we're supposed to honor our elders.
Yeah.
and really place them on a high importance, not on a pedestal, because they're still human beings.
Sure, yeah.
And a lot of our elders are still dealing with the residential school stuff. But, you know, I just feel like society needs to understand how important senior citizens are, elders, how important we, you know, how much information we receive from people that are older than us.
Are there any particular elders that you keep in mind as you perform every night?
Well, my own Kukum, my own grandmother, you know, she went through a lot. She was a survivor. She went to LeBret Indian Residential School. She survived a lot in her life. And my mother, you know, and my aunts, all my aunts and my family. There's a lot of elders in my life who've given me gifts, and I just really honor that.
What is it like, Michelle, when you're in front of an audience every night and doing this show, and not just this show, but this show in particular, when you'll be able to impart onto the audience some wisdom? As a performer, does that feel powerful in a way?
Absolutely. This is something that I talk about a lot, is as artists, you know, no matter what your background is, we are, we're frontline workers, I feel.
Mm.
We're the ones that bring light to the places that were previously dark. We shine light on places that people don't sometimes want to talk about. And, yeah, I often, you know, anyone that knows me, I talk about how the distance between the artist on stage and the audience, that's where the medicine travels. And as an artist, I feel like we are sacred keepers of some really powerful medicine, and we share that with the audience. There's a connection that's made between the artist and the audience, and to me, that's magic. That's where the magic lives.
Man, you know, that's a wonderful way to put it. I'll never go to another show again without thinking about that. The line between the audience and the performer is where the medicine travels. I mean, I can't tell you how many shows that I've gone to, all sorts of shows, where I've gotten something that I didn't think I'd get or I needed.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. This is a solo show. How do you prepare for a show like this? I mean, are your days pretty regimented in terms of what you do prior to a curtain going up?
Well, I've been working as a professional actor for over 35 years. I do, you know, warm-ups before my shows on stage to make sure my voice is going to travel, to make sure that my body's feeling good. The older I get, the harder that gets. But I feel like, you know, it's preparing for ceremony in a way. It's, you know, sharing that medicine with the audience. So I do prepare, and I do call in my ancestors to be with me on stage, and I take the focus off of me a lot of times, and it's all about the message that's being shared with the audience, and it's not about me as a human being. It's about carrying that medicine forward to share it. So it's quite ceremonial in a way for me as an artist, and that's part of my process. And no matter what I do, whether it's theater or film, it's always about, you know, preparing that message of whatever it is I'm sharing with the people that are watching.
This gift of storytelling, I was going to ask you where it comes from, but I think it's clear where it comes from. Did you always have it, though? I mean, as a kid, did you feel that the stage was going to be the place that you wanted to end up in, say?
As a kid growing up in Calgary, as a young brown girl, I was constantly given a message to stay down, stay, you know, do not try and rise up and shine. There was a lot of messages that were given to me, and sometimes it wasn't even through words or sentences. It was sometimes just through a certain look that was given to me that made me feel that I was less than human. And I had to really work through that stuff. I felt really intimidated when I was around, you know, a lot of non-Native people, and I had to really look at that as a human being and just go, no, we're all humans, and we're all perfect in Creator's eyes. And some of us have, you know, a bit more baggage to carry and a bit more struggles to go through. But eventually, I was 17, I met a iconic actor by the name of Gordon Tootsis, who's from Poundmakers Reserve in Saskatchewan. And I really, he encouraged me at a very, you know, 17 years old. And he said, if you want to be an actor, you need to go forward and do it. Because non-Native people are playing our roles, they're writing our scripts, they're telling our stories, and that's just not the way it should be. So he encouraged me. I moved here to Vancouver in 1989 to be an actor, and it's been quite a journey. But yeah, as a kid, it's not something that I thought I could do.
And so you obviously have something that, I mean, if a 17-year-old comes up to you today and asks you, you know, that they want to do what you've done, or they want to work, say, in the theater or on television or in film, you're able to tell them something that you once heard, that you once needed. But the context is also different, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, back then, when I was growing up in the 80s, Gordon's generation, which included Tantu Cardinal, Graham Greene, Gary Farmer, August Schellenberg, Chief Dan George, Gordon. There was many of us that grew up in watching them do bit roles on television. And I always call them our veterans, because they kicked down those first doors, and they came through them. They came barreling through those doors, and they opened a lot of doors for my generation. And my generation included, like, Adam Beach and Jen Podemski and, you know, the next wave. And we came through those doors. And now, young actors today, there isn't a lot of struggle compared to what it was back then. I mean, there's struggle in the fact that they're competing with a lot more people for roles, but it's not the same as it was back then when we had... You know, now we've got Indigenous directors and writers and producers and theater companies and film production offices and lawyers and doctors, and, you know, we're really catching up a lot, and that's beautiful. And so I feel like there's a much nicer paved road for young Indigenous artists that are rising up right now, and I really honor them.
Yeah. You have had a long relationship with the fire hall going back to, I guess, the ecstasy of Rita Joe. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, what is it like to go back to that place?
Well, I'm going back today.
Oh, I see.
I have not, because I live in Calgary now, so I really haven't gone to the fire hall. I've had tons of friends performing there.
Yeah.
But I am going to walk in today, and it's going to probably flood back a bunch of memories, because it was in, 92 that I played Eileen Joe in The Ecstasy of Rita Joe. Donna Spencer directed it. I was coming out as a film actor. I had no idea what to do on stage, and she just kept telling me, Michelle, get bigger! Bigger acting! Because film is like a totally different beast. And so she really gave me a crash course into theater, and it was it opened up a whole new door for me. And since then, I've been doing theater nonstop, as well as film and television.
Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to Inner Elder at the Fire Hall. I so appreciate your time today, Michelle. Break a leg, as they say.
You know what we say? We don't say break a leg. We say wound a knee.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for taking time to talk.
The website for tickets and information is at firehallartcenter.ca. The show is Inner Elder, and it runs from this Thursday, the 22nd of May, until Saturday, the 31st of May. Its star and writer, Michelle Thrush, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.